Welcome to another manga of the month. So for anyone new listening, this is a short podcast to give a manga recommendation just to highlight something that we're enjoying reading and think you should read too.
If you would like to contact us to tell us your thoughts on this manga or to recommend maybe another manga for our manga of the month, you can contact us at reversethieves.com or you can go on our Discord and, bomb us with all your lovely manga that you feel needs to have more attention, unless it's like Quasar of Stigmata, in which case, go to some other forum.
So this month's manga is She Loves to Cook and She Loves to Eat by Sakaomi Yuzaki. And this is about, shockingly, it is about someone who loves to cook and someone who loves to eat.
But they are two different people.
That's correct.
Because it could be that she loves to cook and she loves to eat is the same person.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so we have Nomoto, who loves cooking and she has a small appetite. And so she really enjoys and she wants to cook big meals, but she doesn't have anybody to share it with. And then we have Kasuga, who has a big appetite, who happens to live next door to Nomoto. So their meet cute of the series is Kasuga is coming home from work one night and they run into each other in the hallway. And Nomoto notices that Kasuga has this enormous...
It's like a family pack of KFC.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh man, so you have people over? She's like, nah, this is all for this lady.
And then Nomoto just is so excited about this that sort of out of her own sort of self-consciousness, she, works out her own self-consciousness and just goes over to Kasuga and says, can I make you dinner? And so then the story becomes two friends, and it does start to get romantic, but I think there's two prongs to the story, which is amazingly drawn, beautiful meals, and also beautiful art of people enjoying eating, not just the food itself, but there's a lot of people eating in the series. And then the other portion is their growing friendship and stuff.
It was worth mentioning that we were talking a little about the series and it is very, at least I've only read the first book, very organic but very passive about their relationship. Nobody is, at least in the first book, kind of in that hiding their passions from the other person. It's very much I admire this person or I enjoyed their company. And then maybe the little hints of maybe being very concerned about what you wear when you go see them that are clues that there's much more of a romantic interest there than maybe even the characters realize.
And then that feeling really grows in the second volume and becomes more overt. It's interesting because, it is totally about the food and the cooking, but there is a lot of in here about societal expectations and sort of being frustrated in a way that society might see you, both as Nomoto, who is constantly being told you'd make such a great wife because your cooking skill or whatever. And she's why is that the only thing that it's good for? Or she just doesn't like the way people approach her. And then Kasuga is actually, it's really interesting because once you start learning about both of their home lives, I feel it really starts to ramp up sort of commentary on society. But Kasuga, her physical build in this series, she's like a big and tall, basically, kind of character. And it's so unusual. I really can't think of a lot of other characters that look like Kasuga. And she does her work, she works for delivery for a brewery. So she's also like doing a physical labor job. And then Nomoto like works in an office and stuff. So like what's expected of both of them is very different, and like based also on their things that they like to do and their physicality, like they're just they really find great comfort in each other.
But there's also just an interesting, like, also, like, just, I don't know if it's even deliberate, but there's also almost some, like, almost like a little economic disparity between them, because it's very clear that, like, Kasuga has, like, mentions that, like, part of the reason she gets into it is that, like, because she eats so much, she's a little strapped for cash, because she works in a job that's, you know, a little more like, you know, minimum wage and stuff. Whereas, what do you call it? The other woman, since she has an office job, they never say it, but she just has that excess of money and like just can spend all this money on expensive food, and like she regrets almost wasting the food and the money on this thing, and that's why like they get into it. But it's like it's an interesting look at like their economic disparity. I'm not sure that's intentional, but it's definitely there.
All right, now enough with all the serious business stuff about this manga, because I feel like now it makes it sound like so serious, and like I said, there are all these wonderful things in it, but it is all about the food. I mean, it's very hard to read this manga without getting really, really hungry. And I also love, like, the art just jumps, like, 5 levels of detailed once there's, like, food involved. So, the food looks different than the characters.
I mean, it reminds me of, like, our old joke about, what do you call it, Initial D, that, like, you know, the assistant that works on the characters probably gets a different pay than the assistant that works on the cars.
So true. And then, like, it highlights local ingredients or local delicacies, because, like, Nomoto is from a different region, so her mom, like, sends stuff, or, like, they talk about lots of different foods. They go to different markets and buy certain things, and, like, you know, they buy cookbooks, and, I mean, and then...
And there's also, like, some looks at, like, cooking equipment, because, like, the part with the ceramic pot, or, like... Oh, like, I just bought this new, like, cooking device, and I really want to make, you know, something that you can only make with this thing.
And then, nice in the back of the books is, I don't think these are in the Japanese books, but it has sort of all these notes about all the dishes that you see in the book, and explains them a little bit in, like, detail, because... Most or many of the things they're making are very Japanese.
It definitely seems like a book that's hoping to maybe get a little audience outside of the normal manga reader. Because, like, some of the things there, if you've been, like, reading manga for years, you're like, yes, I know what that is. But it definitely does feel like it's trying to maybe reach out to an audience that doesn't normally read manga, and maybe just, like, that this is what an onigiri is. Just so you're not lost.
The foodie audience. Like, can we get some foodies? Luckily, I know from experience that lots of foodies in our group of friends and listeners. So this is definitely one I recommend. I did just read before we recorded that this manga has gone on hiatus. The creator is having some health issues, unfortunately. But I know that there are 4 volumes out in Japan. There are 2 out in English. And you can get those from Yen Press as both physical and digital. I'll link to those in the show notes. And if you want to visit the Discord, I've actually been posting random pictures from this manga because there's some funny bits. But I'll post a few more interiors on the Discord as well.